I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Welcome in to another show. This is Thursday, August the 27th, 2015. Thanks for listening to The Memo. Again, I'm Brad Locke here with Derek Russell.
Good afternoon. A little late edition Memo podcast coming at you.
Yes.
After some unfortunate events that I guess we could say had a happy ending.
Yes.
This morning, coming out of Starkville on Mississippi State campus, we were alerted while we were starting to record this morning that there was a... According to MSU Maroon Alert, which is the emergency broadcast system for Mississippi State University campus, that there was an active shooter on campus, and so obviously that
kept us busy for a while.
That obviously in a newsroom takes precedent. Thankfully, have learned much more information since then that there was no shooting, there was no attack. And nobody was injured, but a rather unfortunate incident nonetheless.
Yeah, they have a guy in custody, a freshman student. I cannot pronounce his first name, but he goes by Bill anyway. Bill Nguyen, N-G-U-Y-E-N. Bill Nguyen, a freshman from Madison, is in custody, was apparently on the drill field. It's kind of a main central part of campus, a bunch of buildings around it. Was making some kind of threats against himself and also against other people.
He was on the phone with an agency out of Jackson that we've not yet confirmed who he was on the phone with. A lot of speculation there of who he could have been talking to, but told whoever he was speaking with on the phone that he had plans to commit suicide and harm others that might get in his way, and obviously those that were on the other line got a hold of Starkville Police Department, who got in a hold of Mississippi State University, and everybody was dispatched, and the whole thing was over in less than 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Thankfully, to the swift nature of everyone involved, with no incidents reported.
He was in handcuffs by about 10:26 a.m., but even after that, there were still rumors flying about injuries and shots being fired.
Well,
students were still panicking for a while after that, but...
You know, I can remember bomb threats at Tupelo High School, and, you know, when you end up locked in a room or, you know, something, and people have got their phones out and texting, it's a very expansive version of the telephone game, especially when you add Twitter and Facebook into that. So one thing, you know, group texting, and we heard this, and we heard this, and it obviously gets, I'm not going to say blown out of proportion, but obviously a lot of things get said that aren't factual.
And, you know, some of that could be fueled by what has happened here even recently in America with, you know, just the day before the shooting of two TV journalists up in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And you've had campus shootings in the past. Virginia Tech comes to mind from a few years ago. And, of course, the Sandy Hook Elementary. So, you know, every time something like this happens, you're just like, not again. Like,
yeah.
Seriously.
And, I mean, you have to pretty much run down everything that's being said and make sure it's not true or that it is true. And especially in the jobs that we're in as journalists. So. But thankfully, like we said, not ended up being a relatively happy ending. Of course, he is awaiting charges. We don't know what those charges are going to be yet, since they were just phone call threats and not direct threats to any specific students, and did not have a weapon to begin with on campus, or no weapon found. So. Between that and the donuts that we had this morning and the sugar crash I'm recovering from at the moment, it's been a packed day at the Daily Journal.
Yeah.
And in addition to a packed day at the Daily Journal, we've got a packed show for you. And our first guest is Zach Osborne here in the... Did I say that right?
That's right.
I feel like I always say it wrong.
A lot of people say Osborne, but I'm used to it.
You snuck that R in there, so it's Osborne.
Yeah. People always forget the R and they add an E, all kinds of stuff.
Zach's new to the Journal. He's been here a month?
A month. It was like Saturday.
Yeah, a month Saturday.
Yeah.
And he's our general assignment reporter, fills in where he's needed, good team player. And the first several times he was here, I kept spelling his name wrong in email, and all the emails bounce back. I was like, I guess this person doesn't exist, or I created it, a figment of
imagination. There's no telling how many missed emails I've gotten.
Yeah. Well, I just figure there's no Zach. I've made him up. He's a figment of the sugar from the Shipley's Donuts.
Those donuts.
But, Zach, we're talking about the proposed 2016 city budget for Tupelo, and you were in the meeting yesterday, so kind of tell us where they're leaning on different matters for the city.
Okay. Well, the budget was pretty balanced. There was a revenue and expense of $33.8 million, and the mayor called it fiscally conservative but financially sound. The biggest part was that there was a proposal to for city employees to get a 2% pay raise, and there wasn't much discussion on that, but Councilman Markle Whittington, he kind of criticized it, but he expressed concern that it could be demoralizing because, to quote him, he said the person leaning on the shovel would also get a 2% pay raise other than the person that is digging with the shovel. So he's basically saying that it's not fair to do it not on, based on merit. So,
but it was a citywide proposal for a raise for everybody.
Yeah, for
anybody on the city paycheck.
Well, except for the Tupelo Police Department and Fire Department, because they're not paid biweekly.
Right.
So it's just paid biweekly. And the reason for that is because 2016 is an odd year, and there will be 27 pay periods. And so that kind of skewed some percentages, and they're allotting $219,000 in payroll expenses to cover the odd year. Kim Hanna, the chief financial officer, she was talking about how the increases in the numbers compared to last year are only because of the 27-week pay period. So they have to set aside a certain amount of funds to cover that. So that was one of the major increases in the budget. But there will be a tax decrease for Tupelo citizens, a 0.1%. So
fewer taxes, 0.01%.
Yes. Buy that extra donut.
A huge tax break. Another thing they brought up, and I wasn't expecting this, they talked about the police department getting body cameras, mm-hmm. which yeah. I thought was interesting. They requested $80,000 for that.
Yeah, the body camera issue, I mean, that's something you're seeing more of. Even in this area, several municipalities are starting to get body cameras for their officers. And
right now, they're testing three cameras to see which one has the best resolution and storage space. And Mike Bryan, Ward 6 councilman, he supported the body cameras, but Lynn Bryan said there needs to be a proper policy in place because he saw the risk of putting out all the video for everybody to see because of freedom of information and stuff like that. So I'm not sure they stand on that. I think it's still in development.
Okay. Yeah, and that would be, I guess, public info. Something else we could FOIA.
Also, additional funding going towards the Plant a Seed program to the tune of $5,000. The Aquatic Center getting more funding for operations, mm-hmm. Almost $180,000. That thing has become a machine.
The mayor was talking about how for a whole week that there were 2,000 people in the town filling up hotels, going to restaurants, and so he definitely saw the need to increase that too. Yeah. Bring in more tourism.
Heads and beds, mm-hmm. always a good thing for the city. Elvis Presley birthplace getting additional funding to the tune of $35,000, up from $27,500 to help cover the cost of utilities. Obviously, they've expanded and are going to continue to expand onto phase three now. They've just completed phase two. And additionally, there's more to come because that didn't even scratch the surface on Bancorp South Arena, Tupelo Convention right. and Visitors Bureau, and a few other agencies. So there's more to talk about later today, I believe.
Yeah, I'm going at 4 to learn about the Bancorp South Arena and CVB and I think Tupelo Light and Water. Mm-hmm. So there'll be more. I'm not sure if it'll be as long as the first one, but
it's part two, electric yeah. boogaloo of the budget.
Who knows what'll happen.
Zach Orsborn, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Okay, well, you know what? It's Thursday. That means movie review time with M. Scott Morris, and he's back.
Hello.
How's it going, man?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
Went to see American Ultra.
Yeah, I have not even heard of that movie.
I saw a couple of trailers for it because I go to movies quite a bit. And it was, you would see Jesse Eisenberg wearing the slacker uniform of a T-shirt covered with an open flannel shirt. And he's smoking a lot of pot in this movie. This is a dark comedy, basically.
Yeah.
And he's a CIA guy. He doesn't know it, but he was in part of a program. And he has really some death-dealing skills.
Yeah.
That to look at him, you wouldn't think this guy has death-dealing. So it's like mainly a good-natured, gentle, hippie stoner guy who could kill you with a spoon.
It's pretty cool.
It's kind of Bourne Identity meets Pineapple Express.
And there you go, 100% that.
Yeah.
It's gotten not very good reviews from most everybody else except for me.
Yeah, you seem to really enjoy it. I mean, it does have Jesse Eisenberg, good actor. Kristen Stewart.
Who yeah.
I've heard is a good actor outside of the Twilight series, which was just horribly written.
Topher Grace,
I like him.
And then I enjoy John Leguizamo, who's in here. I think he could have been used a little bit more than he actually was, but I've always enjoyed him. He's got he can add something to a role.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think people might be turned off by the tone. And like you said, it seemed like the marketing campaign was a little bit stealthy, a little bit too stealthy.
Yeah.
But I think this is the kind of movie that you may well see. It only made $5 million at the box office.
Yeah.
So ordinarily you say no sequel. But I think this is the kind of movie that might show up on DVD and on demand in college dorm rooms all over America.
So it could kind of have that Office Space kind of thing going on where blows up once it gets to DVD.
It has the potential because, I mean, a lot of things about it are stupid. I mean, they never really explain why they're trying to kill him. It's just, I mean, they're just trying to kill him.
Seems like a key plot point.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what gets the plot going.
That's what happens in all those movies, that once they become aware that something's happening, they have to take them out.
Oh, yeah.
But this guy didn't. I mean, I'm opening here to plot here. I mean, it's stupid. They're attacking, they're going after him, and that's what starts everything. But that's what starts everything.
Yeah.
And there are times when it's kind of slow and times when it's kind of fast. I mean, the whole thing doesn't quite fit together. So there's nothing great about it. And you don't laugh throughout. I didn't laugh throughout. But every so often, I just laughed really hard. And that says something about me, I suppose. I'm not sure what. And there was just one moment at the end of the movie when I honestly had to stop myself from laughing for fear of embarrassing myself amongst the other theater patrons.
Wow.
Because I was just going. Because I was not, they had set the thing up throughout. But I was not expecting it when it happened. And the payoff was just, oh, my God, that's fantastic. And I just thinking about it makes me laugh. I'm not going to tell you about it, even though you're not going to see it.
Well, I might see it once it's on DVD.
There you go.
So it sounds like a good summer popcorn flick. Let's talk about Kristen Stewart. I liked Kelly Carlson's review. You know, she always gets a sentence or
she
two.
She gets a sentence.
And her review was, I despise Kristen Stewart. That's it. That's all she had to say.
apparently, she's pretty firm in her hatred for Kristen Stewart.
Well, listen, I can understand because I don't think I've seen Kristen Stewart in anything except Twilight. And I should say that, yes, I've seen the first three Twilights, but I have teenage daughters, so there's a pretty good excuse for that. And the movies are wretched, and so is the acting. And, again, I don't know if it's Kristen Stewart is the issue in those movies, if it's the writing or if it's both.
I don't know. I find her to be a somewhat magnetic presence on the screen. When you look at her, I don't know. She seems to have whatever movie star has for me.
Scott, have you seen, recommendation to you, have you seen The Guest with Dan Stevens?
I have not.
Downton Abbey. You have Netflix.
Yes.
Check pull it up out. On Netflix.
All right.
Is the best 80s movie of 2014.
The Guest. I have to look that one up, too.
The best 80s movie of 2014. I'll check that out.
You will enjoy. I do believe it's got a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Sweet.
It's a good ride. It's a good 80s movie.
This is shown at the Cinemark.
American Ultra. Yeah.
And Kelly Carlson, she says more on the radio when we do our reviews on there on Tuesday mornings on Witcher 106. But, I think this one is the most succinct she's done in a long time.
Yeah, looks like it.
I despise we know Kristen how she Stewart. Feels.
Didn't even review the
How'd
movie.
How'd you get her to see it in the first place?
Do what?
How'd you get her to see it in the first place?
You know, she owed me.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
No, actually, the other stuff coming out was not stuff that really was all that exciting either. Sinister 2. I've aged out a little bit.
I haven't heard of Sinister 1. I must have missed that one.
Well, I mean, there's like
it's fun.
You know,
okay.
It's fun.
Yeah, I mean, I used to go to those movies and enjoy them. I went But I'm just not the biggest fan of horror movies anymore.
There's too many of them now.
And they did a Poltergeist remake. It was just ridiculous. Yeah. If you can't do it better, just leave it the heck alone.
Y'all can read the review in the Daily Journal, djournal.com. Scott Morris on Twitter, @mscottmorris, correct?
That is me.
That's it. All right, Scott, appreciate your time, bud.
How'd you like my radio voice?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, we're back now with our religion writer, Mr. Riley Manning, and Riley's going to tell us about a new project from the Orchard Church here in Tupelo. Riley, how are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. How are you, Derek?
I'm doing well, Riley.
Excellent.
So the Thrive Church, now this is an offshoot of Orchard or one of their ministries they're working on?
Yeah, that's right. From what I understand, it's going to function kind of like Origins. It's going to have its own leaders, pastors, music and whatnot. It is going to be held at the Orchard location, but it will be a very self-functioning, self-sufficient project. It's been in the works for about a year, maybe a year and a half, since Minister Colby Cuevas changed over from First United Methodist downtown to the Orchard. Colby's had some personal experience with addiction as well, and this ministry's kind of been on his heart for a while, and Brian Collier over at the Orchard helped plan it out and thought it'd be a good idea, so they've been traveling the country and looking at other similar recovery-based ministries and kind of picking and choosing what looks good or would be a good fit.
And I didn't speak towards that, but it is a specific ministry geared towards people with addictions in their past or present.
Right. So basically, it's going to be split into two kind of groups after kind of main worship with everybody. There'll be recovery groups, and this is going to be groups specifically dealing with substance addiction. And each group will deal, people will be grouped by gender and by substance. And then there's also going to be what they call healing groups, which is for kind of trauma, like seasons of life issues, divorce, that kind of thing. And that's going to be a little less 12-step oriented, mm-hmm. But it will use addiction language to talk about, you know, life problems.
Is it a ministry they see where the congregation members would remain?
Yeah, definitely. It's not a. It's different from rehab, and they don't want you to spend some time and get better and then leave. They want you to stay and, you know, sort of be an example and help newcomers into the program who are kind of a little more fresh in their struggles. And everybody that I know who has substance addictions problem still refer to themselves as an addict, even if they've been in recovery for years. So, you know, it's also a good support system and, you know, to just keep taking it a day at a time.
Same with, like, Alcoholics Anonymous, even though they maybe not have had a drink in a number of years, still go to the meeting.
For sure.
Still active in it. And this is going to happen at the Orchard starting in September?
Yeah, September 3rd. That's next Thursday. So they'll start at 5:30, and they'll have a meal, and then a worship and a message as a whole, and then they'll break off into groups, finish up around 8:30, I think.
And is this weekly, monthly?
This is going to be weekly.
Okay.
It's going to continue to be Thursdays also.
So this is at the Orchard on Coley here in Tupelo, starting next week. Riley, thanks for joining us today.
No problem. Thank you.
Well, another weekend is upon us, Derek. They keep coming every week.
There's nothing you can do about it.
That means there's stuff to do. The Beatles are coming to town. Well, not really.
The Beatles cover band is coming to town tomorrow night at the Link Center. It is a group out of Georgia called Abbey Road Live.
They don't even wear, like, Beatles wigs, though.
It's not. They're not tribute artists. They're not. It's not a.
It's different.
It's not a, well, you know, they don't put on the moped wigs and all that stuff. It's just a genuine cover band covering the songs. Their philosophy is if the Beatles had still been touring and performing together live later in life, kind of what they would do on stage. So they add in a few extra jams into songs and do, you know, one of the things I talked to Michael Wegner with the band, who kind of takes on the persona. They don't really take on roles because they don't dress up, but
right.
vocally and instrument wise, they kind of stick to one person. So he's kind of the George Harrison
okay.
of the group, and vocals and guitar wise. And he said that, you know, imagine if the Beatles had played Woodstock, they would not have just played Yellow Submarine the exact way it is on the album. They right. would have added in some stuff and done some stuff. So that's kind of the approach they take to it.
Which is what a lot of bands do, you know, it's a little different in concert than what you hear on the radio.
Right.
Have you had a chance to hear these guys?
I have. I've listened to a few tracks. They're really good. I think it's going to make for a great show. Tomorrow night, Friday night at Link Center. And then again on Saturday, they actually do a kids version.
Okay.
It's cheaper tickets. It's like $10 admission. They only go for about an hour, but they do a lot of more kid, not friendly, but kid-oriented songs, like sure. Yellow Submarine or Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, something that's
right.
really upbeat for kids. But they said it's like a big dance party. They invite some of the kids up on stage to sing along with them and who know the songs. And good, fun little concert full of some of the most famous music from the last 50 years.
Friday night, 7:30, Saturday, 11 a.m. At the Link Center.
At Link Center. Did you want to talk about paradoxes and yeah. time travel and
fictional bears?
Things of that nature. And
anthropomorphic bears.
My column this week in Scene, in Thursday's issue of Scene, has raised a few eyebrows around the office. If you remember the cartoon bears, the Berenstain, because that's the way I say it, bears, that have been around since the early 80s. They've done about 300 different books, but a lot of people remember it as the Berenstain Bears. A lot of other people remember it as the Berenstain Bears.
Which is how I remember it.
S-T-A-I-N versus S-T-E-I-N. And, yeah, Brad is of the Stain camp. I'm of the Steen camp. Our producer, Chris Kiefer, also of the Steen camp.
Only one of us can be right.
And you're one of them. You're yes. one of the problems.
Yes.
But we were talking about it this morning and kind of going over it, and I was informing the guys there's this group on the internet that is convinced that at some point in the last 10 years, time has been altered, and somebody went back in time to fix some event. A lot of them believe it was Y2K.
You know, yeah.
That we were actually going to all the stuff that was going to happen on Y2K, all our money was going to be gone from the banks and the planes were going to fall out of the sky
sure.
because all the computers quit working. That should have actually happened, but somebody went back to prevent it from happening. And the only thing that was affected when this person went back in time was changing the Berenstain Bears to the Berenstain Bears.
Makes total sense yeah, that well, would happen.
It's the butterfly effect. You step guess. On a butterfly in the past and it changes the effect of the future. And but somehow, the guy was really careful. Whatever he did to fix Y2K, he did everything right, except somehow the Berenstain Bears have become the Berenstain Bears.
But a surprising number of people remember it as the Berenstain Bears, apparently.
Myself. I went home. I started pulling all the books off my daughter's shelf, trying to find my old copies that I gave to her. And in fact, it does say Berenstain Bears. See, it's even weird.
I can't
say it. I can't say it wrong. That's how it is.
Right,
I'm
yeah.
saying it right.
Right.
It's Berenstain. I let it go. You know, I was like, huh, I guess I just remembered it weird. But Chris remembered it as Berenstain.
It was Berenstain.
Yeah, it should still be Berenstain, but somehow those books are not, it's like the Back to the Future 2. Everything fades and it changes and
yeah.
Marty's brother and sister start fading away when they erase from existence kind of thing.
And obviously, since I remember it as Berenstain Bears, I was in on the conspiracy.
You're from the A universe, and we're from the E universe. That's how the people online split it up. There's an A universe, Stain, and an E universe, Steen.
So how are we even in the same room right
now? At some point, they merged.
Okay.
In the last 10 years. I'm not really sure it's a paradox, which... theoretically, a paradox should rip open the time-space continuum.
Yeah, but I mean, we've all seen Doctor Who, so that's what should happen.
That's where the donuts win, I guess. Somebody, a buddy of mine texted me. He was like, how do you say... This was two Wednesdays ago, and he was like, how do you say the Bears... And he worded it correct. I mean, he was like, how do you say the Bears from when we were kids? The books about the mama bear and the papa bear and the brother yeah. and sister bear. And I said, Berenstain. That's what I said, you know. That's, he got all. He was like, "You need it." I was like, "He said, do you have any of them?" I said, "Yeah, I've got several at home on the shelf. I've got all mine from when I was a kid."
Yep.
My daughter asked him. He said, "Well, go check them." I said, "I don't have to check them. I know they say Berenstain Bears. It's S T E I It's not. I pulled them all. It's STAI.
Well, my favorite part of the conspiracy theory is that it was changed due to anti-Semitic pressure.
That is also a possibility.
Because obviously, obviously they're Jewish bears. Berenstein.
What's funny about all this is it is a real actual thing, not the time altering part, but the manipulation of the mind. It's called the Mandela effect, and it's a real thing. A lot of people. And it cites this as one of an early example from several years ago. A lot of people remember Nelson Mandela dying in prison.
Yes.
That didn't happen, right. Obviously. He did not die in prison. But when he did die, a lot of people were like, I thought he died in prison. A lot of people remember it one way, and a lot of people remember it another way.
Yeah.
So it's also
the brain's funny place.
Colloquial known as a glitch in the matrix or something exactly. like that. Yeah. But the people online aren't letting it go. They're Berenstein camp.
It's weird you mention that because when I was telling everybody how much I'm looking forward to next week's Fair Park Elvis concert, that you wouldn't believe how many people told me that Elvis was dead.
Yeah, a lot of people don't think Elvis is alive anymore.
Wait, what?
The entertainer, Presley?
Yeah, what about it?
Passed away in the 70s.
You're kidding, right?
A lot of people remember it another way, but it's just the way it happens. But no, it's what it comes down to ultimately is just, you know, your mind is totally fallible, and you
especially when you're like 7 years old, yeah, and you can't spell Berenstein to save your life. Yeah,
but I guess that what's it, my parents don't know how to spell either, because I could remember my mother reading them to me and it being Berenstein, but I don't know.
Your mother
is it kind of like Lawhorn Elementary?
Lawhorn, yeah, Lawhorn.
Exactly.
Claywood, yeah, over there, yeah. I guess it is kind of like that. But anyway, I wrote a column on it.
It's good, yeah. Check out the column.
What else is happening this weekend?
Yeah, what else is happening, Derek?
Well, I'm going to be going through all the local bookshops and seeing what their copies of the Berenstain Bears say. I refuse to say Berenstain Bears. It doesn't even sound right.
It's a stain on humanity.
It is a stain. The title of the column is even the Berenstain stain. Tonight, there's an opening reception at the Gumtree Museum for a new
exhibit.
Yes. Tonight there's a new opening reception for a new exhibit at the Gumtree Museum of Art, Works by Trevor Bennett. It's going to be on display through October 28th, but the reception is today at 5:30. Tomorrow, and all through the weekend, you might want to go over to Oxford and check out Neil Simon's The Odd Couple. They're doing the female version, which switches up the trope of Oscar Madison and Felix Unger to their female counterparts. And that's a fun show. That's happening at the Powerhouse all weekend over in Oxford. Theater Oxford's putting that on. And on Saturday, don't miss Big Hero 6. Movies in the Park concludes with Tupelo Parks and Rec at Ballard Park this weekend. It was supposed to be shown last Saturday, but due to inclement weather, it got shuffled off to this week. So the Disney movie from last year, Big Hero 6, is going to be...
I've got a three-year-old who's been looking forward to that for about a month.
My daughter is the exact same way. She loves that movie, so we're going to try to get out there. And that's going to start around 8:30, usually as about the time it gets dark outside.
Should be nice. The weather has been pleasant, hasn't it?
The weather has been fantastic. Amazing. I was just saying outside a minute ago when we ran to get lunch how good it felt. So I guess that means no more donuts and it's time to get out and start running again.
Yeah.
Or I could just eat another donut.
If there's more left over by my desk, I may have another.
You go right ahead. I'm going to abstain. Abstain.
Nah.
Thanks for joining us again on The Memo. We're going to be back on Monday with an all-new episode telling you what happened over the weekend. Brad, we're going to miss you next week.
I'll be off next week.
Brad's taking some time off to be with the new child.
Yes, the new child, number 87 in our family, or give or take.
Did you get a punch card?
Yeah, fifth one's free,
yeah,
right?
Fifth one is free at the hospital. But I don't think we've even mentioned that on the show. If we have, I've forgotten. But congratulations. I say again, congratulations. That's the last time I'll say it. You don't get it
Thanks.
Anymore. Congratulations.
I'm tired of hearing it. Just kidding.
Fine. Take back my gift basket, too. But we're going to miss you next week. We should have Lauren Wood, a Daily Journal photographer, joining us in the studio. And Chris Kiefer, as always. Follow Chris on the Twitter, at Chris Kiefer. Brad is on the Twitter.
At Bradlock.
At Bradlock with an E.
Mm-hmm.
Spell it phonetically, and then just add an E at the
yes.
end.
Yes.
Bradlock.
Which is really
it would be phonetically.
Probably why I remembered it was Berenstain. I sound things out phonetically in my head.
Or you just like putting an E's on everything.
Could be it.
Well, that wouldn't work. That's what I want to do. I want to put an E on it. And I'm also on Twitter at W. Derek Russell. And the memo is on Twitter at DJournalMemo. Also follow us online on Twitter for the Daily Journal at DJournalNow and our home on the internet, DJournal.com. And we will see you guys next week.